This is the Are You Screwed podcast.
So you're a punt guy, really like the punt guy.
I stood up to Greg and told him to exit the field of play.
Yes.
The Are You Screwed podcast.
He's bitty bad.
You're calling Eric LeGrand a liar.
The director of athletics is responsible for selecting the football coach.
He's going to play for the Ducks.
Tampering.
Need agility. Play small lineup of soldiers. We win.
The Are You Screwed podcast.
Everybody! Chop, 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 chop. Everybody!
Gaetano Panuccio!
All right, I'm good whenever you want to go.
Yeah, I mean, normally there's a Rutgers football game and then I just kind of move on with my life, win or lose or whatever.
5-2, 5-2, 5-2, 5-2.
But I have not stopped thinking about this football game since Saturday. Am I alone in that? Like, that's one of the, I've been watching this, since 2005? That's one of the craziest wins they've ever had, right? Like, I don't remember anything close to that.
I don't have any memory of 1992 homecoming Virginia Tech. That's the only thing I think that maybe would come close in terms of insane comeback like that.
But we have been watching so much bad football for so long, and it's 24-6 Michigan State, and we're like we've seen this game so many times. Like,
I texted to you. I hate that fucking team.
We've seen it so many times. Like, you didn't even need to watch the first three quarters. I could just tell you what was happening. It was raining. Nobody was in the crowd. Rutgers was down 24-6 to a Big Ten team they should be playing better against. You've seen the game many times before, and you're thinking, and your whole Rutgers football life is flashing before you. Oh my God, were they right about Greg Schiano? That the game has passed him by. You can't win with special teams and the dictator coach and all of the Greg Schiano things, and you're thinking, oh man, what if we hired Joe Moorhead or Brett Bielema? This is how they're gonna play against Michigan State. This team is awful. They're at home. Like, this is their opportunity. And then the punter dropped the football, and like in the span of what, like 12 real life minutes, the entire everything just flipped over, and Rutgers football is good again.
Isn't momentum is a real, you can't watch that game now and tell me in like sports and the way it, I mean, momentum is so real and it's so quick and things change.
It can. I mean, that was a particularly insane sequence of events that took a team. Look, sometimes you just have to be less bad than the other team. What I'm saying is that like, that's it. Just don't drop. Never mind. Go ahead.
To even get to that point, to win that game, so many things had to go wrong for Michigan State and right for Rutgers. And it all happened, even with, like, I really thought that it was still over at 24-13 and Dixon had the opportunity for the pick six. And within 2 minutes, it would have been a one score game. And that really would have, it's funny to say now, that would have been too quick of a score. They did everything right the way it actually happened.
I mean, Michigan said that they had to put the 10 players up on the kickoff the first time. And I'm sitting there like, why don't you just bloop it over them? This is a terrible kickoff formation. What is this? This is like an interim coach thing, I guess. A real coach would know never to do this. So whatever, Rutgers kicks it into the end zone and they come out and do it again. Well, it's like, all right, well, this time we're going to bloop it over, and here's the football. Thank you, Michigan State. Thank you for the football. Like,
is this karma for Michigan State 1.0 interim head coach, you know, Rutgers, you know, dumb spike on fourth down, and now Michigan State takes their turn with a dumb interim head coach and some decisions at the end of a game?
The oft-forgotten Norris Wilson era.
Man, they won that game. They really won that game.
Yeah, go ahead.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say they won it in the most Greg Schiano way possible. Just like, it's just the most, there he is, that look on his face with his jaw, and he's like, he's angry and he's not going to say anything, but he's got that look on his face and he's back with winning with special teams.
He looked like he was crying. He looked like he was crying.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Like it was
meant a lot.
I mean, he had, I mean, it's one of the biggest wins of his life, right? I mean, he's been doing this forever, and that's got to be one of the biggest.
It could certainly change things. I don't know. We'll see what really happens moving forward. The thing I was going to say,
we've been doing this podcast for 5 years. We have never done an episode after a good win ever. It's never happened before.
Well, the weird thing is there actually have been plenty of good wins this year so far. That's what's confusing about all this. Again, they've beaten every day. We talked about it many times now. Like they're finally at the point where they're just, and they didn't do it great on last weekend, but they're beating the teams that they're supposed to. And they are one win away from beating a team that they're supposed to and having a 6-2 record going to Ohio State.
And hey, we can start talking about
you
stuff.
Dream. There you dream. Yeah, you're.
Hey, they're coming into town. Their quarterback doesn't look that good.
A bye week. Oh, don't give Greg Schiano and them boys extra time to prepare for Ryan Day. I would start being nervous if I'm a Buckeye fan right now.
They could absolutely keep it to. I mean, they could keep it to like 20. I mean, they could win. You know what? They could. Who knows?
Want to hear the funny thing about that? By the way, is that I don't expect it to happen. But I think I told you that my dad they're going away that weekend. Their wedding down in Florida, so he did sell the tickets to Ohio State because I've got the second suspension came last week for me. So I'm very hesitant. I don't think I could really get there for the Ohio State game. It would be the funniest thing ever if the Helfgott family wasn't there.
Oh, is your brother not going either?
Ohio State. I don't think he can as of right now. I mean, he has really pushed his luck. He's been to four out of the five. Right, there's been five home games.
No, it's been five. It's been five.
Yeah, he's been to four out of five with three kids. newborn twins at home. I think
that's the Cheddar Bob school of marriage.
He's had
right
a good
there.
Run. He's had a good run. So anyway, so yeah, I you know what I was going to say too? I had this written down at one point is that I'm happy that I didn't go on Saturday.
Interesting.
I'm happy I didn't go on Saturday.
You would have left, right?
Exactly.
Your brother have let you leave? I don't think your brother.
I don't know. I don't know at what point. Basically the trend, going as far back as when I started going to games with my dad is we were taught like you just don't leave. Like we were those people that sat through 0-11, all that stuff. And like we stayed at every game till the end. It was just funny at the end. You could literally have a conversation with the coaches and heckle them. That would be your entertainment. Over the last, 5-6 years, when like life stuff comes into play, you get older, you have a significant other, so you might have to leave a game early. Then you start having suspensions. Then
those are just things really that get crazy. Those are just things that get in the way of Rutgers fandom.
It is.
You drop them.
I might have to after this last weekend. So I do at 24-6, I probably would have been out of there. And I would have regret that would have sucked. I am so much happier that I just did not go, made the decision that morning. And I was close, by the way, still to go. I was on the fence that morning because the wife was like, no, you can. I looked at the weather report. I'm like, let me take suspension number one. But I was like, she's going to want to leave after 30 minutes. So like, what's really the point? And then I would have gone alone. And I'm sitting there going, two suspensions at home, one's a newborn. Like, if this gets bad, like, I need to go. I would have left at 24-6.
Yeah, yeah. Total. And then the punter dropped the ball.
Yeah, and the punter dropped the ball. Yeah, Craig and my dad were they had decided they were staying one more possession.
Craig was going to leave, huh?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Wow. Craig, they were, I think, again, for a lot of people, what I'm guessing, aside from the rain thing, when it gets to 24-6, a lot of the diehards who have been there forever, yes, they're 4-2, but like, it's just more another big game. This is how they're going to go and do this. I think I would have been more on that fence. So happy I wasn't there. Had the time of my life watching the game at home.
You know what? It's a lesson that not only did they come back from down 24-6, they did it in 6 minutes. Okay, football's a crazy game. The ball's not round and crazy things happen. And, if you sat, I feel bad for the people who sat through it for 2.5 hours and then left. Yeah. Like, because plenty of people just didn't show up at all, right? We should talk about that in a minute.
Yeah, we'll get there.
But yeah, I felt bad for those people. But man, like that was crazy. That was nuts. That, we've watched so much bad football, and to have that release was great.
I'm with you too, by the way. You mentioned this in the Discord. What a difference numbers wise between 5-2 and 4-3. Like, your brain just plays so many more tricks on you with just one difference in a number.
Oh, I have a little list here of things I wanted to talk about.
Nice,
and the way a record looks is one of them. Like in football, see basketball, you might remember the conference record. You don't remember the overall record of, like, unless it's really, really good.
So 19 looks a lot better than 18 in basketball. I have a feeling, but 20 doesn't look that much better than 19. Yeah.
It doesn't because there, and you play a different number of games every year.
I'm with
you. But in football,
19 and 12 looks good. 19 and 12 looks good as a basketball record, and the versus 18 and 13. Now it turns out that doesn't matter. It doesn't get you into the tournament anyway when you don't play anybody. But regardless,
I'm just saying. I just, for me, I've just never cared about in basketball. But football, the record, the way it looks matters, right? Like we had so many of those 8-5 seasons, but the 9-4 seasons, this looks so much better. Like
they might get some votes next week if they win.
They're going to. They will.
They're going to get some votes.
They'll get at the end. Maybe 3, right? What do you think it'll be? What's your prediction? Because we wouldn't do an episode until the poll came out, obviously.
I think they would get two top 25 votes.
Two top 20. I'll go to 5. They get 5 points.
Wow.
Yeah. If they beat Indiana.
6-2 is a great looking record heading into Ohio.
Six and two. I mean, looks
that is
great.
Like that is late enough in the season where the random college football fan who's scrolling through games and like they happen to catch the open and that graphic where it's, number 5 Ohio State and their record, and then it's Rutgers, and then they look down at the record for Rutgers. They're like, three and two
in the conference. No, here's the thing, Adam. People are paying attention. You look at the Big Ten like power rankings. Rutgers like at 6-7 in all of them. People are noticing the rise of Rutgers football. We have been doing this for 5 years. Five years of this podcast, and we have never done we have just never had an opportunity to do a fun episode, right? We've talked a lot about, whatever, if they lose, like that sucks, but we'll have fun anyway and find ways to have fun. But that's like a coping mechanism. It's way more fun when they're actually winning games. We've never actually gotten to do this before. It's great.
Yeah, no, we've never had this opportunity. I mean, wow. They really came back and won that game. Still, yeah. It is. You just have to kind of scratch yourself every once in a while and be like, that really did happen. I felt great for my brother, my dad, and their other longtime season ticket holder who they stayed throughout the entire thing. They had a blast. I mean, that is one of those where you just do not forget. By the way, there was a good question today in the Discord about that, where is there been a game that you were supposed to go to, wound up not going to, and miss something like great or memorable?
I tried thinking about it. I couldn't think of any. How about you?
I don't. 2002 basketball, they beat Syracuse. That was my bar mitzvah day. I would have probably rather gone to the basketball game. Mm. So I had to miss that. 2001 or 2002 again, whatever the year that Miami was number one and came to Rutgers in football, and Rutgers was up 17-14. I had a baseball game that morning, so we listened to the blocked punt in the car. So we missed all the good stuff. We got there, and Rutgers wound up losing 42-17. So I didn't make it there. The only one that I could tell you for sure that I had the opportunity to go to and chose not to was 1992 homecoming, Virginia Tech. But it was Halloween. I was like 3, apparently, and I chose to go trick-or-treating, which probably at the time was a better decision.
Yeah, that sounds like a better decision. By the way, I feel like some people probably don't know this about the Miami game in 2002. I don't know. Maybe like some younger people don't know that Rutgers was up 17-14 against
in the fourth quarter against
one of the all-time great college football teams that they ended up losing.
Why am I blanking on the quarterback again? Can you
Ken Dorsey?
Oh, Dorsey. Right. So that was one of the first times ever where I remember like he was getting into it with the students at one point. Like they had gotten into Miami's head a little bit in that one. I believe that was maybe Sean Seabrooks that had the
yeah, that was Sean Seabrooks.
The block punt.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have anything else that I really was supposed to go to Rutgers-wise and or anything in general. My brother, in terms of leaving something early, though, again, which I think would have happened to me this past weekend, my brother was at the David Wells perfect game, and the family that he was with left early. So he missed the perfect game.
That's so weak on that family. So, I mean, it's a perfect game. I don't know. Where are you going? Where is there to be? You know.
Other than that, though, I don't think there was anything else. Like, I always like to mock Danny for now they've gotten better in basketball, but he missed the J. Mitch game. Like, he wasn't there for that. I remember.
Wasn't he not there for some Irvay Lamazama game? Lamazana game where he hit some shot. Providence, maybe. I feel like he's talking. Maybe he's complained about
Providence.
He's complained about Providence before. I think.
I don't know.
Yeah,
I don't have anything else that really sticks to mind. But I would have definitely left early on Saturday. Definitely would have left early on Saturday.
I don't know. I don't go to games as a fan. I was inside. I was in the radio booth. So it was fine with me. Like, you know.
At 24-6, I would have been like, see ya.
Okay, well, that makes you a bad fan. You should stand out in the rain.
Jerry Cuno would not label me as a real fan.
So first of all, like, I partially believe that. Like, I don't know. Like, sit out in the rain. It's not the heat. You want to tell me you want to stay out of the heat? Fine. Like, you can get seriously.
Wait, what are you're saying? Are you, you've gone into now your,
I'm going to the sit in the rain thing. Cause I want to, I want to get to all that. You know, you're going to get sick from being out in the rain. That's not a real thing. I don't think that's a real thing. You put on a poncho, you have a hoodie on, you stay warm. Maybe get some hot chocolate. You'll be fine out in the rain. Okay. Rutgers was 4-2. Go to the game. So anyway, so I tweeted out before the game, like, no excuses for missing the Rutgers game today. It's a little rain. Get a poncho. No time to get a poncho? Use a garbage bag like we did back in my day. If you don't show up today, don't show your face in this town ever again. Did people take that seriously?
I don't think anybody took that one seriously. I mean, they took Steve's tweet seriously.
I don't know. It was like
did it get traction?
It did.
I don't remember
Rutgers
getting traction.
No, it did. It got 40. Did it? 44. It got your brother was like, amen, even though you're joking. I was half serious, but like,
and I think some, he is. And I don't.
There were some people who took, if you don't show up today, don't show your face in this town ever again. They took that seriously. That's not my fault.
Here is the problem with this entire thing, and it's gone in like a million different directions. And I did listen to a little bit this morning of the Rutgers rant guys and what they put out.
All right, Politi got in a fight with Al Dukes. I forgot about that.
So here's my thing. People who these messages are not directed at are always for some reason going to get angry, even though, again, the messages are not really directed at those people, because a lot of those people who are getting mad are either they're going and it really doesn't apply to them, or like, they've got a legitimate excuse and they can't be there for whatever reason. My big picture take about this the entire time is that everybody's just yelling into nothing.
You're yelling into people that
do not exist. That do not exist. Like, you were there. How many people, once you got midway through the first quarter, Steve seemed to think there were roughly around 20,000 by the end.
I don't remember the dispersal of the crowd at this point.
My point being is just that, like, what type of fan base does everybody think this school has right now?
Sit out in the rain. If you're going to show up in the nice weather, show up in the rain.
But they don't show up in the nice weather. So what's the difference? You're yelling at people that do not exist.
But there are markedly fewer people when it rains.
But there aren't. See, I've gone over this plenty of times before. You have a gigantic, the craziest thing about Rutgers, honestly, is the amount of students that are actually there.
There are objectively speaking, fewer people in the crowd. What are you talking about?
I get that. Hold on. But you're not, those aren't fans.
I don't care.
This is my whole thing.
Go to the game.
Is that, yeah, but they're not fans. They don't care. People don't give a shit about Rutgers football. And we've just got to understand that is what it, no, I'm talking about everybody. Nobody cares about Rutgers football.
Does anyone casually go to Rutgers football games? Do they?
Yes.
I don't think there are that many people casually going to Rutgers football games
that have an affiliation when it's a nice day out in fall.
I'm not saying they don't. I don't think it's that many. I don't think there's that many people who do that.
Of course, Max, it has to be that many. There's only 20,000 season ticket holders.
I don't know.
Just by the math alone, there are passerbys that are like, oh, this is a good weekend to go to Rutgers game.
I'm not saying there's none. I'm just saying that I don't think that's not the difference. That's not the difference between the crowds.
I think the difference is terrible garbage weather and a small fan base in general. Like, I'm not really surprised.
I think there's a lot of season ticket holders. You know what? Those season ticket holders who didn't show up on Saturday, who didn't have a valid excuse, like someone said they had a wedding, somebody said it's stuff about being handicapped and it being difficult. Those are valid excuses. But if you didn't have one and you didn't show up on Saturday because you didn't want to get caught in the rain, then don't show your face in this town ever again.
My only problem is, the only thing I'm sick of is like this cockamamie idea that Rutgers isn't a Big Ten program. They're not Big Ten fans. Have you idiots fucking looked at like a picture from the last couple of years of like Michigan State in bad weather when they've sucked, Illinois,
yeah,
Northwestern, Indiana, Maryland, half the fucking, nobody goes to games anymore. This isn't 1990. This isn't 1970. There's other shit to do. Like it. Just,
yeah. Like go back. Yeah. Like, yeah. There's other shit to do. Like, go back
get
home and sit
it
on your phone. That's what people are doing. Need to get back
but,
to
you know,
my
it's
phone.
Just the point being is like, I'm just like, Pat brought it up on the Rutgers rant and it just really annoyed me. This like, oh, well, Rutgers fans had a chance to prove themselves and be like a big, like big time Big Ten fan base. Like,
okay,
it happens everywhere.
Okay,
who cares?
To take it super seriously is nuts.
They are taking it super seriously. Like, better, Steve would have been like, hey, I'm just trying to mess with people and like joke, like that's their honest opinion, which can be entitled to. Again, I think they're talking to nobody. They're talking to people that do not exist.
I don't know. I think some do exist. I do.
Go on and win consecutively at this type of pace for the next 5 years. And I think you have all the reason in the world to go and start spewing all that type of nonsense.
I just think it's fun. I also think it's fun when like people are doing it seriously.
Yeah. I don't fucking know.
Carino took a picture of the crowd shortly after he arrived at the stadium. So there was that.
Yeah, whatever. People are going to get angry. People are going to take it personally. I'm one of those that are going to take it personally when it's just stupid stuff being said after. I think the Big Ten stuff is stupid.
Anyway, wanted to give a shout out to Fonseca for his, this was a text from Rutgers Sports Insider. One more quick text. Don't miss this story from Fonseca on the 18 key moments from the game. Taking the keys to the game to 18 keys to the game, that's really taking it to the next level. So I just want to give a shout out. Danny's going to have to catch up. I mean, 18 keys to the game is really, like I said, taking it to the next level.
Yeah, it was a lot.
Yeah, I mean, 18.
Everything had to go right. They did it. They somehow won that game. I don't know. 5-2, get to 6-2, really start thinking about it. I mean, what do they have to do if they're 6-2 to impress you? What do they have to do against Ohio State?
I don't know. Like, make me be down, like, I don't know, 20-10 in the third quarter. Make me believe that you can win the game. That's enough. They've never done that.
Score first in the game?
No, nah, we've done that before. We did that last year. Remember?
Wasn't that Michigan?
No, that was Ohio State. No, we did it against Ohio State. It was 7-0.
Yeah.
I have the screenshot somewhere. It happened.
Oh, yeah. We did the whole stop the count thing.
We've gone a long time today without mentioning Richard Kent. He's been predicting a lot of stuff on Twitter. He's been throwing out a lot of predictions.
I think I'm with our other colleague Mike on this. I'm kind of over Richard.
I think
it was just the summer. It was just the summer.
No,
Richard Kent.
Here's the thing.
We're done with it.
You must have missed that on November 1st. He's going to be releasing special info. All kinds of special info and updates on College Hoops starting on November 1st. You're going to miss that? You don't have confidence in that?
Not really.
Oh, wow. Tell your friends and relatives to follow and maybe even a few of your biggest enemies.
Are you going to make sure that you see him this weekend?
Oh, that's right. The St. John's Rutgers scrimmage.
Patino Pikel.
But yeah. I assume Richard's going to be there. I don't know. I think I'm going to be there? What was that?
Is Jay Young going to be there in attendance? He seems free now.
Oh, Jesus. Yeah, we don't really, I don't know. can't wait to hear more details on the Jay Young thing. But yeah, I guess Richard's going to be, I'm going to be in the same place as Richard. I don't know. You don't really want to meet your heroes. Oh, I saw Charlie in the background. Hey, Charlie. How's that going, by the way? Baby or suspension. Sorry. How are things going around there?
It's Yeah, it's fine. Not a ton of sleep right now, but that's to be expected. So a little ornery at times. You know, mood swings a little bit faster. They shift when you're on less sleep. But no, it's good. And big sister has taken to him quite well. Everybody's been good. Howie's been really good with them. Dogs are usually pretty actually in the know to kind of be chill with the babies. So no, it's all good. Mom was a hero with everything. It's the hardest job in the world. Glad that I don't have to do it.
Oh yeah, it's fantastic. It really is fantastic. It's great.
It looks terrible.
Yeah.
Looks
shout out to women. Really.
Yeah. That's your lives are a lot worse than ours. It's not even close. But no, it's good. Thank you. Thank you for asking. It's we're very happy.
I thought you were saying thank you to women. I thought
thank you to women as well too. Big pro women podcast. Just want to make that clear. But no, he's 1-0. He's 1-0 after seeing this for probably, I don't know if it'll get much better.
Well, my Rutgers football has been good the entire time. My daughter has been alive. They've been good the entire time. Yeah.
I hope that continues for all them moving forward. But, yeah, I don't know. Now I got to see if I could actually get to, there's two more left. Maybe I can get to one out of the two. That Thanksgiving weekend might be the more doable one. For Maryland,
5-2 makes you think some crazy stuff. I'm thinking like, oh, I want to go to Penn State. I've never been.
That was the worst experience I've had.
That was another rain game, right? That's when you went.
Yeah. Yep, I was there for that one.
The Norris Wilson era. We've talked about each of the games from the Norris Wilson era today.
Yeah, 2015 went to that one. 2014 went to Ohio State. That was also bad. I mean, cool experience, but they got blown out.
Hey, they were sort of in that game for like a quarter and
they
a
were.
Half.
A quarter and a half. They did play well, and then it just, the floodgates kind of opened. And
they were, you know, they were playing Ohio State.
No,
wasn't,
yeah, absolutely.
Actually, that team was good. That was the best team we've ever had.
That's funny. You probably never do this really as an away fan, but I left that game early.
Why not? I mean, what's the, you've seen the experience.
This is,
you've
this
been
is
blown
stupid.
Out.
I was like,
let's
I literally
go
just
check out Columbus. That's a cool town.
Yes. We have a much better tailgating scene than Ohio State, oddly enough, but they have a very, very cool like downtown.
We have a better tailgating scene than most places. Like yeah, I was at Alabama. Like ours is better than like, as far as the setup and the, absolutely.
Yeah. They've got a more like bar scene in Columbus, which is cool. Yeah. Very, very cool spot. Penn State. I will not go back there unless we have a very, very good team.
Interesting. I'm just thinking because it's the last year we're going to play them. I mean, we don't know. I didn't look at the future schedule. We're not going to play them every year anymore.
No, we play them at home next time in 26, I believe, or 25. Okay. 25, I think it is.
Okay.
So
okay.
A couple of years. It's not a huge gap. So that'll be it. Gavin will be what, a senior by then? Oh, that's a win.
Well, he might be in the NFL by then at this point, at this rate. You know,
top 10 Rutgers at that point.
Top 10.
Embarrassing about, James Franklin.
Oh my god. 5-2 makes you think stupid things like I want to go to Penn State. That's what 5-2 does. 4-3
just brings
doesn't
back,
do that.
It floods back memories of like, you know, the ranking next to the name way back when. Yeah. That's what it makes you think.
The Rut back in the Rut G days.
Rut G. Yeah, back in the Rut G days.
Yeah. The records are, it's so important in the NFL, like with the 17, I was saying this in the Discord, the 17 game schedule, it makes the records in the NFL ugly, like a 10-7 record. Yeah. What is 10-7? Give me 10-6, 11-5. They're all ugly info. 14-3 is not a bad looking number.
11-6 is not terrible.
I don't know. It seems awkward. It to me. Yeah. I don't like it. I'm not a fan of the 17 game schedule.
It's it's like the car dealership trick, right? Like 4,050, like it's a dumb number compared to like whatever, 39.99.
Right. Yeah.
It's like, it's this is a good deal. Mm-hmm.
Or like the gas when they put 0.9 cent. Why do they still do that? Like, what can we just agree that we're not going to do that anymore?
It's
a penny. Like, do you really need like 12 cents every car that comes in? Like, it just, I don't know. It just seems not worth it.
English American translation is funny. My daughter still calls it's petrol. She really like confuses people when she goes, we need petrol. Does the car have petrol? So I blame Peppa Pig on that one.
Oh, right. I was going to blame Charlie for that one.
Well, that too. But it's both. Come from the same area.
So interesting. So Charlie hasn't assimilated. She just calls it petrol. Did he call that to you? Did she call it petrol?
No, she'll go gas most of the time.
Okay.
He's pretty much all in on what we do.
Hmm.
Oh, that reminds me. I have to stock up on wheat thins on Friday. My mother-in-law is coming into town for the suspension.
I was thinking this would probably be mean, but this is just maybe just a fantasy suggestion. Is there any way we could like maybe set up another circumstance where maybe she mistakes a different food for something she should eat as cereal?
Maybe we
can't necessarily force it to happen, but we can make it so it might happen.
Not to get into too much detail here, but one thing we were thinking about, and Charlie was all in on this, is basically saying that we haven't completed the Jewish tradition for males, if you get what I'm kind of going at here.
Yeah.
And we need to, we
can't say circumcision on the podcast.
I don't know if people really wanted to talk, you know.
I don't think that's fine. It's like a medical procedure.
Yeah, it is. Okay. Yeah, you're right. Okay, anyway. So we didn't finish the procedure purposely because there has to be some, we're waiting to do it for, you know, when you arrive and we're going to have everybody over and do this big thing and you are going to do X part of it.
Okay.
And I'm going to have to we're going to have to go along with it and really get rid. I think that end, she's going to wind up being here for Halloween. Now maybe I got to go find the most ridiculous Halloween costume possible for my mother-in-law. So
and she'll wear it, right? She's
she has no choice.
Okay.
Are you a big how much? I often get yelled at a lot by Charlie on this. How much candy do you buy? Or are there a lot of trick or treaters in your area?
There's a good amount. The thing in my town, there's like one street where a lot of people. There's like a big kind of wide street where most of the kids go, but they also kind of come around. I buy like probably two. I don't know, like 70. Like I don't know. I usually have extra. I buy a good amount.
Yeah,
maybe like 270 piece bags or whatever.
Are you like a decorations Halloween?
Yeah, we've got a big spider web and a spider on the bush. Okay. We've got pumpkins. We've got a ghost thing on our door hanging.
There are
some insane people
around here that I mean.
Yeah,
we
have some stuff. We're not one of those people. How about you guys?
Are you dressing up this year?
Oh, we did. I was a coin block from Super Mario Brothers. My son was Yoshi. My wife had a pipe like a because there's a Halloween event in my town last week. I know it's early, but like you go around to the different businesses, they give you candy. Anyway, so we dressed up.
Cool.
Yeah, I got a little pipe with my daughter who's Mario coming out of the pipe. So
we
had a whole family thing. Yeah,
nice. Yeah. I don't know my daughter wants to be a nurse, so I don't really. I could be a patient. I could be a doctor.
You could be. I saw a zombie Ronnie Brown, like the former Dolphins running back, a kid in a Ronnie Brown jersey. And he was a zombie. Okay. Yeah, that was weird. You could be like a zombie patient, a zombie Ronnie Brown. Yeah. Needing to go to the hospital. That was the weirdest costume I've ever seen.
Mike's had to do a teardrop on Halloween candy before, right? We've definitely talked about Halloween.
We've talked about it. I don't know if Mike's ever done a teardrop. Mike is a big Halloween.
Yeah, his birthday's on Halloween. I can't hear you now. What happened to your mic?
What did you say? Yeah, my mic went out.
Oh, no. What did you say?
I said my mic went out. I said Mike's a big Halloween guy.
His
birthday's on Halloween. So
yeah,
Mike's big in the Halloween. Mike's always has a costume. Mike's big into it. Not big into this podcast, though. He doesn't even respond anymore. He doesn't even give us the time. He'll show up that like some week and just be like, oh, whatever. Nothing happened.
He listens to the other guys more than us.
Does he even? Yeah, I don't know. Does he listen to this? I think he listened to the last one a couple days late. I'm loving these. You got TV on behind you, and I've been loving these commercials that have been on. Yeah, the Medicare one again with the lady there.
Daytime TV. There's some very bad commercials on. That's really it. I don't have much else. I do have to
get
on some work stuff, but you tell me.
I got one more thing on my list here. So the Phillies game last night ended on a double play, and I just wanted to ask, what's your favorite double play? Like, I love a good 5-4-3 double play around the horn. I think that's the way the game ended last night. I love that.
Yeah.
I also love a 3-6-3 is a good double play. I love a good looking double play. I mean, the middle infield double plays are cool, too. You get that little flip, and they got to do the thing with the bag, and that can look cool. But something about a 5-4-3, I think that's my favorite.
Yeah, I'm going to go I'll go similar. I just prefer the shortstop starting it. Let's go 6-4-3.
6-4-3. That's a classic. That's a classic.
Like just a very classic, you know, chopper up the middle, a flip, a turn.
Yeah.
And like a good fist pump.
Yeah. I lived in Cleveland for a bit as a kid, so I saw Roberto Alomar and Omar Vizquel. They had some beautiful, beautiful double plays. So I appreciate a good 6-4-3. I like the rare the 2-6-3 double play, like on a bunt. You don't see that anymore because bunt thing's not cool anymore. But that was a cool one. Anything, the 1-2-3.
Or if you get like the random, like amazing catches in the outfield and guy, you know, like Harper in the DS round.
Right. Yeah.
You know, like those are always wild to me as well. You just don't see them very often.
Yeah. Those are cool. So you had the bunt one. The most humiliating double play I always found was the 1-2-3 double play. With the bases, you got bases loaded, one out, and all you do is hit the ball right back to the pitcher. And there's no time for you. It happens so quickly, you don't even get like halfway down the line. That's the most humiliating double play, the 1-2-3.
Yep. All right, suspension 2 is going off in the background, so that pretty much means it's my time.
So we're done talking about double plays? Okay.
To do something productive. No, I'm trying to, you know, the toughest thing about 2 suspensions now is like blocking off your time properly.
Oh, yeah.
And like that's the thing that's just hard chaos right now.
Yeah.
So I'm going to do that. I'm going to table this and say, we get to 6-2, we're doing this again next week.
Absolutely.
We get to 6-2. We're doing this again next week.
Oh, but wait a minute. If they lose a humiliating game at Indiana, I feel like we have to do that.
And then we're going to lose again anyway next week. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. All right. Go. Sorry. Go. Yeah. Bye.
So,
going on. The background behind you is blurry. It's kind of creepy. Is that how you like have your, is that by design?
Yeah. My bed is behind me. So.
Oh, okay. You should get like a green screen or something. This is just weird.
That's how I operate on a daily basis.
Can I buy you a green screen as a gift?
I'm okay. Thanks.
I don't know. I don't know. It's kind of throwing me off. So is there anything you wanted to talk about? By the way, this is recording.
No. I texted you because I didn't know if you were threading the needle with Adam for a meeting. I figured there was probably going to be some like rushed segments or something.
There was actually. We were talking about double plays. And then Adam's first kid was doing something.
Dude, it's remarkable like how much you actually care about baseball still. Like I have watched only the clips that you send in our group text of the MLB playoffs this week.
First of all, I mostly like baseball in the context of as a transactional thing because I'm a gambler and I
transactional things.
Hold on. Until the playoffs. I love the baseball playoffs, but I gamble on the awards. Like that's why I pay attention to baseball, but I also still love the more importantly, I love the romanticism of baseball. I love talking about things like the aesthetic of a double play, not just the look of it, but the numbers, right? Like I love a 5-4-3 double play. The numbers go in reverse order.
I have a real argument on double plays.
Okay,
I don't
go ahead.
The whole idea of a 6-6-3 doesn't exist. It's a 6-3 double play.
Who calls it a 6-6-3? No one calls it.
A lot of people do. There are a lot of people who still call it a six. Like if the shortstop takes it.
Yeah, I understand.
The bag, no, there's a lot of people call it 6-6-3.
I've never heard of that before. That's not real. No.
Ridiculous. 6-3 double
never,
play.
That's ridiculous. But what do you love? As far as a 3-prong double play, what do you like? Like I said, I like a 5-4-3. You're probably a 4-6-3 guy.
I was a second baseman, so 4-6-3, obviously.
Like the 4-6-3 or do you like to be the guy?
Oh, my God. No. I was terrified of the 6-4-3 or the 5-4-3. I had to actually get the ball to first.
Right. Yeah. Okay. The little flip is more in the Danny Breslauer.
I was great. I was great at leaving the shortstop. Okay. You kidding me? Yeah. All day 4-6-3. And I actually
4-6-3. Okay.
Half decent at the reverse pivot too. If it was to my left, I can make that throw to second.
Yeah, we were talking that the most humiliating double play to hit into is the 1-2-3 double play because the bases are loaded and you know.
Yeah, that sucks. The 1-2-3 is tough, but I mean, I think I had no topics for you other than Patino Fichel.
I was gonna say, you want to talk Patino Fest for a couple minutes?
I got 5 minutes. Let's do it. Yeah.
I'm excited to see this team, man. I have no idea what to expect. I don't know if they're gonna be good, if they're gonna be bad. I have no idea.
I'm bringing the king of UMass Twitter mostly so Noah Fernandes has a familiar face to be happy.
The king of UMass Twitter.
Bringing the king of UMass Twitter with me.
Does he have? So he's not one of these people who's like in the shadows. He's not like Trilly Donovan.
No, he's kind of in the shadows. Okay. They have this like joke going on with UMass Twitter that anyone who takes a picture with him in public blacks out his face. So like they put an emoji over his face if you take a picture with him in public. So no one's actually like publicly seen his face. I know his true identity. Obviously, we hang out a bit. And
so he's hiding in plain sight.
He's hiding in plain sight. It's pretty. Yeah. Like
nobody really cares.
Right. I mean, listen, that's not true because like Curry, Hicks, Sage, a lot of people call him Sage. Sage breaks a lot of coaching carousel news, much like Trilly in the offseason. He's like really, really big on it. So there are some people who.
But
really
college sports is weird. I don't know if people care if this stuff gets out. It's weird. It's a weird information.
There's a lot of like information exchange in exchange for like getting involved in processes. Like I know for a fact, Sage has gotten multiple coaches in the room because of talking to ADs. So like it, like, so that to me is a legitimate, if you're affecting six figure jobs for some of these small or mid major jobs, obviously like that's legitimate influence.
Yeah, I know that is, I'm just saying that I just feel like that's the game. Like college sports is weird and like stuff like that happens. And I just don't think there's no mechanism to like, it's like they want to remain anonymous, but also like, it's like I said, in plain sight.
I love how Mike's become obsessed with Trilly Donovan's who Trilly is. It's clear the past.
Has he? Oh, I haven't noticed.
Oh,
so Mike's become a
last few weeks of texts have been like he's trying to find out who this is. I think he's very interesting.
Richard Kent was like threatening to like reveal who he was on Twitter. It looked like
he could box him. Yeah.
That's what it looked like he was doing. That was crazy. If you don't accept my challenge,
meet me at Rucker. Can you imagine like Trilly versus Richard Kent?
I hear he's in the New York area.
Yeah, right. That was a straight up dox attempt. It's crazy. I imagine that Richard Kent, Curry, Hicks, Sage, you and me in the same building on Saturday.
Oh man, at a star-studded affair at Carneseca.
Trilly could be hiding in plain sight there for all we know.
Who could be?
Trilly, for all we know, true. In the New York area.
Yeah, he could be. I mean, it's also I was looking for like somewhere to maybe get food beforehand because I knew I was on campus. There's nothing there. There's the only thing there is a Subway. And a Burger King that's closed.
I mean, listen, I haven't been to Carneseca in, I don't know, 15 years.
I was at some Fred Hill era loss there.
A Fred Hill era loss? No, Eddie played there.
No, I was there. I did it for RSU. I was definitely there.
Oh, yeah. No. That's what I'm saying. Right.
Yeah, that's the last time I was there.
Yeah. 15 years ago. It was Fred Hill era, actually.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
So, yeah, I did a women's game there for sure with our friend Derek Vlasic. I remember. My freshman year, so that's a long time ago. But yeah, that place, dude, there's nothing there. They got that
except a Subway. They have a Subway. A
soccer stadium built on top of a parking lot, and it's like AstroTurf and has the craziest bounces because it's on top of a parking lot. The baseball stadium there?
I've seen it. I never did a game there.
Yeah, cool press box. Pretty interesting. But
we'll see the team. We'll see what they try to do. That'll be cool.
St. John's, that one of their best guys broke a hand in a closed door scrimmage the other day or something. RJ Lewis.
I didn't see that. But they also have like they seem to have like a lot of players who are like decent who don't like stand out. Like they have
11,
like a deep...
it's 11 mercenaries. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
They're gonna press so much. You know, Patino loves to press and he's gonna guys.
It's gonna be really interesting, right?
Like not on Saturday. I mean in general. Like
no, what I'm saying is like this could be the game that Rutgers is forced to play fast, even if they don't intend to, right? Because I think St. John's is going to make them play in the 80s.
Mm. It's a scrimmage. But you're going to be taking it super seriously.
Oh, dude, are you kidding me?
You're going to have a five thoughts, right? After?
Yes.
Are
five
you?
Thoughts, okay. Yes, not five keys. There's no point.
Right. But five keys. Like, how about, wait a minute. What about five things you're looking for?
I'll do five thoughts after the game. I'll do spaces Saturday night, and then
we're getting right back into the spaces. Oh, nice.
And then,
okay.
And then five keys for Princeton, which will be interesting with my brother's wedding weekend. But you know, I know a little bit about Princeton through Brett.
It's basketball season. Oh man, it's basketball season. Oh, here we are.
So cagey in the group text. Brett won't tell me anything. I'll tell him anything he wants to know about Rutgers on November 7th. It's like a really funny back and forth we're having.
Oh, it's basketball season's in the air. We're going to Carneseca. Carino's out there fighting with someone from our Discord on Twitter. It's that season.
All right. I gotta jump.
All right.
Enjoy.
Okay. So for the people still listening, Mike sent in something late that I'm now going to tack on here. So this is Mike's observations thing.
Max, after a few shaky years and an embarrassment on live TV, after a season with no excitement at all and nothing to root for, Love is Blind is back. Adam, do you know what the M in Milton stands for? MVP. Aaliyah deserved better. JP, just say something. Anything. Can't spell ew, yuck, without Uche. Izzy, confounding. Stacy, heady play. Nobody circles the wagons like Chris and Johnny. Okay, now we can talk about the second biggest comeback of the weekend. Rutgers, bowl game, collision course. Rutgers battled back in the elements so it can get to a bowl game in December in sunny Yankee Stadium. 30,000 Rutgers fans will say they stayed for the comeback, but only one family is telling the truth. The Helfgots. Except Adam, who was on his couch. He already quit on the team, but they didn't quit on him. Suspend him again. Suspend him straight to hell. Speaking of hell, Art Briles.
Pay the players.
Looks like we made it. Look how far we've come, my baby. We might have took the long way. We knew we'd get there someday. They said, I bet they'll never make it. But just look at us holding on. We're still together.
You see?